Welcome back, everyone. Today we're with Cassie Aurora, another local girl. If you listen to Alex Dudgeon's podcast last week that we did, this is his other half. Cassie, welcome.
Hiya, thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Introduce yourself, Cassie, because I know you're big into some of the more esoteric things of life. So introduce yourself and tell us what it's all about.
Well, I can't tell you what it's all about, but maybe some of it. So, hi, everyone. I'm Cassie. I am essentially a coach. I'm a holistic health coach, and I work primarily with women to help them overcome disordered eating, exercise addiction, and high-functioning anxiety and depression. And I use holistic tools like Reiki, astrology, brain rewiring, and sometimes the tarot to really achieve kind of a full integrative healing process so that women can actually like start to thrive and feel powerful and in control rather than sort of trapped behind layers and layers of whatever society gives us that we may be we would probably be better without, but nonetheless we have to work through.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about your history. What did you do growing up?
So I mean, my journey's I'll just give you the story.
Cool.
So I grew up with quite a traumatic childhood. And I know people throw that around in the self-help arena like it's, you know, an air balloon, but it really was. So when I was born, my dad wasn't around from the word go. He was sort of like having an affair. And so I had that in the womb. And my mum, she was like a solo polo, you know, she was really independent. She was incredible. And I was a lonely child in that I was born anxious, and I was fearful of absolutely everything. And I thought anxiety was normal. And so I grew up with essentially very alone. I think I said that. But I developed a comfort around food because my mum was constantly like working because she was trying to keep the house. There was no one to support her. And so I would be home sort of not alone. She was in the house, but working. And I would kind of eat a lot to comfort myself. And about the age of 6 or 7, you know, like any kid, I probably wasn't into like broccoli and spinach or whatever that my mum would cook. And she would say something like, you know, if you don't like what I'm cooking, don't eat or make your own. And like, whereas other kids would probably just eat it, I would just be like, fine, and learn to cook. So yeah. I'm like this 7-year-old making like these elaborate pasta dishes, home baking bread, cakes, crumbles, like not good for a 7-year-old. And at the same time, it was really the only place that I felt truly happy. I guess when I ate, I felt alive. And it must have been something about the endorphins or the safety of knowing that food felt good. I'd not really felt good any other time. I wasn't like other kids in that. I didn't like sports. I didn't enjoy anything high risk. I was very much in an imaginary world all the time, but I was really musical. So when I was 7 and I was like always the butt of the joke at school, I was very bullied because I was severely overweight. That's not me being like, oh, you know, I was overweight. That's me saying as a fact, I was overweight. And yeah, so like when I was 7, I started playing music. I was given an instrument. And it was the only place that I'd ever really been recognized. And in human design, I'm a projector. So when we recognize, it's like big, it's a big deal. So I was really gifted, like really gifted at music. I never had to try. And long story short, I became a real overachiever in that area and in anything academic. So I wasn't really sporty, although I love netball. But around the age of like year 6, I really started to notice. I mean, I was, you know, very overweight at that age. I actually weighed more in year six than I do now. And I was getting, I was really fed up with the bullying, and it was the time where, like, boys and girls, there was kiss chase, and I was just ignored, and I really became really down. So I decided at the age of year six, whatever that is, I want a diet. Oh dear. And this is when it all fucked up. So my mum, in the best way she knew how, because my mum was always on diets, so I'd learned that behavior through her, and she was always hating on her body. And my mum was a functioning alcoholic. She hid it really well, but she was. And by this time, my stepdad was around. He was very emotionally manipulative and abusive, so it wasn't really safe. But I started dieting on a well-known British, well, international, I think, dieting points system. What a load of bollocks. I could eat pink and whites. I could eat pink and whites, but avocados were off limits. Oh. Like, what the fucking fuck? Anyway, so I got very, very underweight. And because of my intense nature and overachiever and wanting to try and be extreme in everything, I took what was a sensible amount of calories or points, as it was in that system, and it ended up going to, like, literally the point where by year seven, I was walking 3-4 hours a day, bearing in mind I was very sedentary, going to the gym on my lunch break at school.
Wow.
And I was eating a cereal bar and a pita bread. Then it went to, like, just the cereal bar. And so by the time I'm 16, I'm like, I've got no tits. My tits never developed. So if you're that was hard. I was in a body that was very ill. It was not in a good place. My hormones were fucked. My periods were awful. Like, it was awful. It was a mess. And I had severe depression. I hated everyone and everything. I would cut myself. I was just really in a bad way. And I was still an overachiever and really obsessed with, I was going to go to Oxford and do medicine. That was the thing I was going to do. So when I got to 16 and I'm already quite ill, I actually went through a bit of a better period for like a year where I ate more. I was in quite a comfortable relationship at the time. It was my first boyfriend. He's very loving. And I put on quite a lot of weight, obviously, as you know, you would if you'd starved yourself for your formative years and you've essentially trashed your metabolism completely. And your thyroid's probably trashed and God knows what else. And when I was 16, my mum got ill. She was a functioning alcoholic, but she got a chest infection, which they identified as pneumonia, very similar to what's going on now, just inflamed lungs. And within a week, she went to hospital to have some fluid drained off. And within a week, she was dead. She passed away, multiple organ failure. She actually got MRSA from the hospital. And I didn't see it coming. And she was my only real safety, the only person that had really kept me safe, especially from my stepdad. Even though I wouldn't say we were intimately close, she always deeply cared, but she was, you know, struggling with her own battle. And so when she passed away, that was really hard because my stepdad at that point turned really abusive. And I essentially spent about 2 years in that abusive household trying to juggle my A-levels. And the hard thing was, at the time, I didn't know I was being abused because you don't, because that's what abusers do. So you actually believe that you are the problem. And anyway, when my friends made me realize what was happening wasn't normal, by this point I was very poorly with my eating disorder. It had gone to silly levels. I was exercising, I don't know, 5 hours a day. You know, it was just stupid. And I was at uni. I began uni studying music. I chose not to do medicine. I was in this abusive situation. And my stepdad kicked me out and I had nowhere to go. He kicked me out because I used the dishwasher when I shouldn't have. This is like the extent of how absolutely mental he was. But I got out of that situation. It was a blessing in hindsight, but no one in my family believed me that he was abusing me. No one. And that was the hardest thing. It wasn't even really the abuse. It was like that I was being gaslit left, right and center. And he would pretend to be this person to everyone, but that wasn't who he was. So it was really damaging on a lot of levels. And as you can imagine, that kind of abuse alongside an eating disorder, a grief when you're 16, it was pretty horrible. And obviously not having any structure there to support me, that was really tough. So I left uni because I was absolute bag of bones, a wreck. And I went to pursue fitness because I loved fitness. I don't fucking love fitness, but the addiction loved fitness. And let's normalize this really bad diet culture, starvation. And I'm the first time I discovered like low carb, even though I don't know how you can be low carb really when all you eat is a cereal bar. But I actually then changed my diet and I was eating like protein shake, chicken, broccoli, rice, and then I couldn't stand chicken, so I went on to corn. But anyway, it was the bro diet, the vegetarian version, and I was teaching like body pump, body attack, all the shitty group fitness that is just programmed to burn you out. Yep. It's actually not designed to give you much. Didn't practice medic, just I was just a bag of cortisol and adrenaline. And I mean, God, and I lived on coffee and lived on coffee. So it was bad. And I went on like that for a while, ended up being able to work overseas, thought that yoga and meditation was a load of shit. And then I got very ill overseas when I was hospitalized finally for my anorexia. It took a lot. I wasn't even hospitalized because of my weight. I was about 33 kilograms when I was hospitalized, but I was actually hospitalized because I developed bulimia and I would use a toothbrush to make myself sick, and the toothbrush went down my windpipe. I nearly fucking died. This is how desperate I was. This is like how bad it was. And it sounds mad to someone who's not in it. You're like, what the fuck? Mm. I would have thought that. Mm. But then when you're there, so I survived that. I was hospitalized in Tenerife. I came home to the allopathic doctor and he said to me, bearing in mind I'm 32 kilos, or maybe it was about 36 by that point, I go into the doctors, I've admitted I need help. The doctor says, you should just eat some biscuits. You'll be fine. So I basically was gaslit again. And looking back, this is my learning. And long story short, I ended up going back overseas. I met this guy one day. He's in floaty white trousers. He walked towards me on the beach and I thought, what the fuck is this guy?
Wasn't Jesus, was it?
Literally, I think it was. I'm sure he's an angel. And he said to me, you need healing. And I'm like, absolutely fuck off, because I am not there. I'm like, what you see is what you get. There is no God. It's all a load of shit. And this is like when I'm 21, I think. And something in me said yes. And I don't know why. So I had this Reiki session with him on the beach at sunset. This old guy in white trousers. And that moment, like, nothing was the same. because I was like, holy shit, everything I knew, I don't know. There's no, I couldn't even explain what happened in that session. And after that, I even remember there was like storms happening on the island for like 3 days, and that would never happen. That was like very rare. It was like the whole world was having this big and pathetic fallacy, and it, you know, it was crazy. And I remember that point, I got a bit more into yoga. I came home, got into Reiki. And that was really when my, you know, quote unquote awakening began, and essentially helped me with my astrology, Reiki, seek and heal for good from my eating disorder, which I could only really say it took me 7 years. And even now I'm reverse dieting. That's what I've been doing for the last year. And trying to heal my body. It's much better than it was. I've healed from some, I had no period for like about 11 years. I didn't have a period. So there was a lot of stuff that was wrong. Cystic acne, all sorts of things. I had fatty liver disease, didn't drink alcohol. It was, my body was fucked. So it's been a long healing journey. I can honestly say that not much of it was about the food. It was all about, for me, the spiritual process, the trauma, overcoming the complex PTSD, the childhood stuff. Yeah, it's been a long journey. And on that way, I found how powerful astrology was as I developed my own health coaching practice and as I worked more holistically. Everything really blends together, but astrology to me is an archetypal way that I've made sense of a lot of things. But yeah, I think a lot of it for me has been about coming into the feminine. And so that's kind of when I realized that I'm here really not to work. I'm really here to guide and to share. And that's what I'm serving really on the planet. So yeah.
So that's an exciting start. That's an exciting start to life.
I'm glad you think it's exciting.
So how do you contextually frame that? Are you grateful for all that, or do you see that as like, why have I had to deal with this?
I used to think that. I used to be like, oh, fucking hell, why has this happened? But that was just my inner victim, you know, and it doesn't help because it's like living in the problem and not in the solution. I see the dual of benefit, you know, like there is a dual of benefit in everything. And I genuinely believe it's part of the mystery school I elected into. If you look at my astrology chart, I haven't come here to fuck about, like, it's like I stood in heaven with my guides or whoever they are and went, right, you know, I'm not saying I've had the worst life, but I think I decided to give myself an absolute horrible beginning because, you know, why not? But I actually do believe I'm a Scorpio ascendant, and any Scorpios listening, if you've got Scorpio in your chart, you're all about intensity. And the thing is, if you're not learning intensity in a way that's an inwards search for intensity and deep, deep meaning, it will find you because it's saying you're missing out on potential, you're missing out on potential. So I kind of, in context of my life, I feel it was the training. Well, it was the shitstorm that meant I had to go and find help to then dig into myself, because now I need to be able to hold that space for others. Like the clients that sit in front of me, I don't have space to be judging them. I'm there to be witnessing them, you know, but I couldn't hold that space if I hadn't held it for myself and sat with my own real shit in therapy when I can't escape. I've got to sit with it and move it and feel it. So I guess it was like the stuff that had to come up and had to happen for the training, for what I'm here really to assist with in this life.
I think you can only take people so far as you've been yourself as well, can't you?
100%. I always say that. And when people like say, oh, I don't need therapy or coaching, I'm like, everyone can benefit from it. It's, you know, so yeah, you can only take people as far as you've gone, because you'd just be, what's the word, like, not fraudulent. What word am I looking for?
Beyond your means, maybe. Exercising beyond your means.
It wouldn't be authentic, would it? You'd just be a charlatan.
Yeah, and I think like the healing process, to me, it's a divine art. It's like a specific skill set. And I think it's a difficult thing to learn. You have to actually have the experience of it to actually be able to express it to others. You can't read it in a book. It doesn't seem like that to me anyway. You know.
No, you can't read it in a book. No. I wish you could, because it's rough. Like, I think it's beautiful, but it's not all airy fairy and like, oh, let's do some meditation and love and light, namaste. Like, namaste and love and light, when you say it with reverence and you've been there and you think, yeah, shit, this means something different to what people are saying when they're just throwing away those phrases, it's tough, and it requires patience, resilience, you know?
Yeah. Do you see what you're doing now with astrology and tarot and that sort of thing? Do you think the reason that you're on this path now is because of what you've gone through, or do you think you'd have got there anyway?
That's a good question.
Because I guess I'm asking, do you think it's preordained?
I believe it's preordained, but I'm open to that changing. That could, if you look at my astrology, for example, you can see that my past life skill is obviously all the weird and wonderful esoteric magic. Like, 100%, if there was a witch, you know, I say witch as like I am a witch, not in like bloody
with your hat on.
Yeah, I mean, like a woman who's using magic every day, like everything is energetic to me. And you can see that in my astrology, like in my, that's my gift that I'm bringing in. But in this life, it's really about science for me. It's actually about making things very scientific and like mundane. I actually have to be very material in this life. I need to keep that. But for me, I probably would have found it one way or another. So it's probably preordained. Who knows? I think we always discover parts of ourselves that feel old and familiar. Mm. But maybe it's just because they're like our true essence. I don't know. But it's not. My work is definitely shifting more to like fertility and the path of a woman and a mother. Empress. I do call it the Empress, actually.
So let's stick on astrology a sec. We're in the midst of a coronavirus, apparently, depending on what you think of it. What is the astrology of the perceived issue at hand at the moment?
All right. So I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not a mundane astrologer, which is a world astrologer. I'm not a virus expert. What's the other thing I need to say? I'm not an expert on 5G. It's a disclaimer. So if you're going to come after me, it's fine, but just be prepared that I'll just send you a lizard picture back. And that's so I say this with like what I know based on what I'm seeing. So astrologers have been saying, me included, that 2020 was the year the shit would hit the fan and nothing would be the same at the end of it. So Okay, where do we begin? We've had a big series of eclipses happening, the last of which will be June and July, and they've already been pretty life-changing for many people in certain ways. Certain people would have felt it, and that's not really what is, it's not really linked to coronavirus, but already people are dealing with their own personal culmination points of deep woundings that are ready to be purged. And we're at the end of, in shamanic astrology, it's believed the end of a 26,000-year cycle. It's like the blackout.
Yep.
And we're moving into the age of Aquarius, as many people say. Well, Aquarius is freedom for all. It's liberation. It's humanitarian. It's the collective, not the Capricorn, which is before it, which is, you know, like the patriarchy. You know, we have been in the age of Pisces, which is all about Jesus and the fishes. And yeah, it's going to change. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. But we're at that critical turning point. And I think it kind of began when, you know, when the aeroplanes were invented and they discovered Uranus. That's really Aquarian. I think that kind of began it, you know, because that's very Aquarian. But that was a while ago. but now, in January, we had this big conjunction. The last time this conjunction happened, so astrology is about looking at patterns throughout history, and the way we can make a judgment as an astrologer is by looking back at all the other times it's happened, and the context is always slightly different. It's never really the same, but the cycle will repeat. So we had a conjunction between the planet Saturn and Pluto, and astrologers were going, this year is going to be huge, we won't feel it in January, it will begin in January, but it's going to go on, it's going to build and build and build. And everyone was going, oh, what's it going to look like? It could be this, it could be that. Pandemic was thrown around. But the last time this happened was Saturn is authority. Saturn is the government, it's restriction, it's control, it's hierarchy, it's tradition, it's patriarchy. That's really the word for Saturn in its lower form, because it's also the word for absolute truth and strong foundation, and it doesn't like falsities or false foundations, so bear that in mind. But it is restriction, and it restricts whatever it goes to. If you think of Saturn as a planet, it's cold, and it's like all gassy and blah. So it's got that energy to it. And it's also the edge between all the planets in astrology that we're conscious of, like Mars, Venus, Moon, Sun. And it's like the bounds of Pluto, Uranus, Neptune. And that's when things come into form. It comes through Saturn. So it rules really humanity and form, and it's what we're really seeing on a material level. So you've got that, and then it joins Pluto. Pluto is corruption. It's underhanded power, it's sex scandals, it's taboo, it's dirt, it's I want to say it's like radiation, you know, it's corrupt power, or it can be absolute power in its most beautiful, potent potential. So it's either fear and control power, like Hitler power, or Gandhi, absolute truth. And I'm not saying Gandhi was perfect by any stretch, but it's like a power that comes from stillness, like an inner strength, and knowing what we can and cannot control. It can be both, depending on what the context is. So about 500 years ago when this happened, it was when, do you remember in Europe, in Henry VIII's reign, you had Martin Luther, and he decentralized the Bible? So everyone, and this Bible was only for the Pope, and only the rich could go in the church, and you couldn't pray to God unless you were like the king who was God and all this shit. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was how it was, and it started, the Bible was going out in the streets. Power, as you know, it was completely corrupt, and there was this huge anarchy in Europe that just started, and after that, you know, it was a free-for-all, and the whole of the Bible structure changed. And I don't know the exact ins and outs of that time, but that was huge at the time, and it undermined the patriarchal structure at the time. So we also have the Pluto-Jupiter conjunction that's going on. Particularly that happened when Corona came to the UK and lockdown happened. But also, I'll kind of come to that in a second, but Pluto-Jupiter conjunctions, the last time we had that, it was when you saw the Black Death move through Europe. And the Black Death was moving through Italy, and it was the most deaths in Italy, which is quite funny.
We've heard that before.
Yeah, yeah. So that made me laugh. So we fast forward to this time now. Where it's happening now is in Capricorn. Capricorn, again, it's like Saturn. It's government structures. It's the hierarchical structures. It's the patriarchal structures that we've been in up until this point. And you've got Saturn, Pluto, South Node, all meeting there in the sky. So you have the biggest, most powerful things, first time in 500 years, that packs a punch. And then, oh, let's just throw the South Node in there as well, which is disillusion. It just rips things away. It's not even concerned with it being nice anymore. It's like, this is shit, I'm ripping it away. And it takes things constantly. It's karmic clearing. Opposite the South Node is the North Node, which is in Cancer, which is the mother. It's femininity. It's the matriarchy. It's yin. It's feminine. And that's what we're being asked to move into. So lockdown, where we have to be at home, which is Cancer, and we're slowing down, that literally mirrors that angle, that kind of dynamic. Anyway, so we had this conjunction in January and we heard about Corona. It was going around. We heard about 5G and all that shit. But we really didn't get the trigger point until Mars starts to hit those planets. Because what happens in astrology is it doesn't all just happen at once, because if it all happened at once, it'd be a shit show. We'd all collapse. Mars comes along and it's a bit like the trigger of the gun. Mars in astrology is action. It moves, it's forward, it cuts quite literally. They always say it cuts. It's the path to God. It doesn't care how it gets there. It just wants, it's cutting. So Mars comes across and it moves across these places in like March. And the moment that Mars hits all of those trigger points where that initial energy was in January, all of a sudden, Corona hits the UK. What's more, before this happens, we've got like all this blurred communication. And it's so funny because Mercury, which rules the media, Mercury is media, what we're told by media and publications and communication, entered Pisces. When it entered Pisces, what Pisces is disillusionment. It's like everything's an illusion. It's foggy. No one knows the truth. The boundaries are dissolved. Mercury also rules the lungs. And Pisces also rules toxins and things we cannot contain. So you've got the lungs and Pisces, you've got this blend of also the media, what we're being told doesn't add up. Mercury's retrograding, so no one really has a fucking clue what's actually the truth. Everyone's throwing their two cents in, it's all getting a bit messy. Then you've got Mars comes along and triggers all these things. Saturn then makes one of the biggest moves of the year and moves into Aquarius. So it's been in Capricorn 2 years and it shifts in the last, what, this has been 2 weeks? And the minute that Saturn moves into Aquarius, we have the idea of lockdown. Now, Saturn, remember, is restriction. It restricts. It's government restriction. Aquarius is free movement. It's gatherings, it's social gatherings, it's being with your mates, it's freedom of speech, it's it's technology. It's what we say on the internet as well. It's everything that is unique and woo woo wah and out the box. It's outside of the patriarchy, and Saturn moves there, and we get the idea of it, but then Mars meets it, and all of a sudden, censorship suddenly becoming a thing, and social distancing becomes a thing, lockdown becomes a thing, and I'm like, there is literally nothing more Saturn in Aquarius than social distancing. And also Saturn is work and Aquarius is technology. So people's structures of work are literally being put on technology all really quickly. And then all the time in the background, you've got this Pluto-Jupiter conjunction, which is happening in the last 2 weeks. Not Saturn, Pluto, Jupiter, Pluto. When this conjunction happens, this is when all the corruption is being blown up, because Jupiter, it was going to be the second sun. Jupiter is like, whatever it touches, it blows it up. And it wants things to be revealed. And people are going, when is this going to be revealed? Why aren't people seeing the truth? It's like, oh, they will. We're just seeing the beginning now. And so this is going to have a dance. There's going to be a big dance going on, going forward. I'm not going to go into the ins and outs because it's going to be very to and fro. September will be a very interesting month. Autumn through to December is going to be huge. Don't forget, we've got the financial crisis energy going on with Saturn square Uranus, which I won't go into because that's a whole nother story. But essentially in December 2020, we have a big new energy. And this is like where Saturn and Jupiter meet finally in Aquarius. And it will be like, I feel hopeful. It's like a new structure of truth that is benefic. Jupiter's benefic. That's based on a real truth, not like, like there will be transparency. There will be full disclosure, I think. And it's going to be about the collective and a more freedom-based way of thinking. At least it will be the beginning of it, I think. And I mean, every time there's been a Saturn-Jupiter conjunction in history, a famous world leader has been either shot, presidents, JFK, removed very quickly, or died. So there's going to be some big reveals this year, and people have predicted this. I don't know. As an astrologer, I don't lack hope at all, because I have total faith. People are going to literally have their paradigm shattered, but it is going to be for the best. So I've tried to keep that really brief as possible and as like simple as possible. So
I can put it on the record that Cassie said Donald Trump's going to have his head blown off in December.
I wonder if he's going to be the underdog though. But I think because he's making some moves that are not with the vaccination tidal wave, and he's decided, you know, his movements today have been very interesting.
I've just saw that, yeah, just before I jumped on. Yeah,
I feel like maybe because he's actually, I think I'm kind of rooting for him a little bit here. I never thought I would say that. Yeah, I think if he doesn't play ball, he may be removed. I don't know. It could be BG, could be Lizard Man. I don't want to, every time it's happened in history, someone's been cut from power, but we've also got Pluto in the picture, and Pluto does not like corruption. It is corruption, but it's corruption for the sake of truth.
Okay.
And you know, when Jupiter's there, truth will be revealed.
Yeah.
We're just at the beginning. This is like the start of the next 10 years in astrology.
Fascinating stuff. If you don't mind me asking, how long does it take you to feel your way into that sort of field of work?
I was into it as a kid. I really studied it. I've studied it for like the last 7 years. So when I had that like awakening, but I really studied like probably the last 4 or 5. And I'm honestly obsessive. So Alex will tell you, he tells me to turn my videos off all the time. Like normally I'll listen to like podcasts and read books probably 4 or 5 hours of my day, just in the background. It takes a long time, I think, because there's not one manifestation of a planet or a sign. It's like you could read 10,000 hours on Saturn. You still wouldn't know enough. Mm. And it's like your birth chart is a very, is 0.00001% of all the charts that can be divinated. So there's like in Vedic astrology, for example, which is ancient Hindu, there's so much, like you actually have to niche down. It's impossible in one lifetime to learn it all. And astrology is very much about the astrologer, because they're subjectively, they've got their own kind of subjective take on a planet. Like when I connect to Venus and meditate on it, I know how it will be. But when I move, if I'm like trying to connect to a person's chart, I have to really feel what their Venus might be like in Gemini. And that's still dependent on which house it's in and like what time of day they were born. Mm. There's things in astrology called Mahadashas, which are cycles. So people always say, well, if I'm a Gemini sun, how come I'm not like this? And you're like, well, because you're not in that Mahadasha, or you're a night birth, or maybe because you've evolved. Like, so it takes a long time.
Yeah.
But there's no right or wrong way, I don't think, to learn it. It's like the tarot, you know?
Yeah. I consider it like a sacred science.
That answers your question.
No, it does. I consider it a sacred science, I suppose. It's just because I'm probably dogmatically put science to fact and linear boxes. When I frame it up as a sacred science, I'm trying to put it into, if it is that way, then that must be like that, and that must be like that, and that must be like that. So that's where I've had troubles, like coming out of my reptile, actually going, okay, that could have a, because I'm learning the tarot now, nowhere near as experienced as you. But already when I meditate on the cards, there's something within me that's like wanting to come out as I'm doing it. You know, it's a fascinating subject, but you can't put that across to people until they do it themselves, and it's just words otherwise.
Yeah, it is just words. And like, it's quite interesting because I've done readings for people and they're like blown away because they're just like, oh, I didn't know what this was. I'm like, I'm literally looking at a nude of your soul. So if you're hiding anything from me, I can see it in your astrology. And people are like, they'll cry in sessions, like, because no one's ever been able to articulate how they felt to that degree. And I think that's what astrology gives you. It gives you words like for things that perhaps you couldn't describe, but also it's beyond words because it's all archetypes. It's the same.
So give me an example of what someone might not tell you that you'd know.
I wouldn't know if they'd been abused by their dad or their uncle, for example. I could pinpoint that.
Just by knowing when they were born.
The time and date of their birth and the place. Yeah. And that makes me think, because like, I was thinking about this with Corona. I'm be interested to see what you think, or whatever we're going to call it, COVID-19.
Yeah, it makes me cringe when I say the word. Horrible.
I just think of the beer. Like, is it, because they 100% have astrologers at the top. They have to, because they picked Mercury in Pisces season because they fucking knew everyone's energy is through the roof. And then we've hit Mercury in Aries after like 2 months, and everyone's like, boom. And everyone's, they're going to get irate. They're going to start getting a bit narky. Let me out of the house. Let me out, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, they definitely have it there. But I think, I often wonder, does it reflect us? Or do we reflect it? You know? Do the stars decide first? Is it just all mirroring? Like, and if we can look ahead, astrology, if I can look ahead in 10 years and say, that's what the planets are doing, and these are the possibilities of how it will play out for me. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, great, I know when I'm going to have kids. And it doesn't have to play out like that because I do have free will. But I don't know. Sometimes I think it does have some mystery. It is flexible. We do have free will. But there's some stuff that is fated, for sure, yeah. When you look at astrology.
Well, maybe it's when you overcome those energies, not in a sense that they're an obstacle, but yeah. In a sense that you're conscious of them. So therefore, that's when your free will really comes into its own, is when you can master those energies rather than being mastered by them.
Yeah, that's true. So being conscious, and like I've got, you know, I've got some really vile transits happening at the moment, but they're all about Pluto. So they're actually about unearthing the final roots and conscious of it. So I'm like, right, I cannot afford to sit back now. I actually have to now, even though there's going to, like, I really have to be conscious of my energy, but I'm aware of what energy it will feel like. Like with Pluto, it feels like it's coming out of nowhere. And for me, it's dreams. That's what I said to you, I've got all these weird dreams. But for other people, a Saturn energy feels like depression. Mars energy often feels like an anxiety, or Mercury, it's like an anxiety. So then you know how it's going to play out. And as someone who's working with the stars or with the tarot, you start to feel it in your body in a certain way. So if you have a tower day, you think, oh my God, that's what the tower really feels like. me and Alex the other day got lovers in reverse. And you might think, oh my God, you know, we're going to break up. But actually, it was just that 5 minutes later, I don't know what happened. He snapped at me about something. And I just went, oh, I'm leaving the house. And went for like a 2-hour walk. So it can be as subtle as that. Mm. Like it is an awareness tool, I think, like any divination.
Yeah.
I guess.
So you mentioned the financial system. I don't need to go into too much detail, but I'm going to be heavily affected by this. So I need to know a little bit of what's going to be going on, or what you think is going to be going on.
Well, I don't. I can pinpoint you personally to some astrologers that are really into. Yes,
please do.
I don't have the names now.
Oh. Okay, let me know after.
I'll tell you roughly. The next, okay, last time we saw this was like when was this? I'm really bad with finances. I think it was the Wall Street crash. Is that
the
what
depression.
It was
the Great Depression.
Yeah, same energy playing out now. Can't remember which one. I think it's Saturn square Uranus. Saturn in Capricorn, again, is our systems, our government systems. Uranus is destabilization and transformation. Uranus has been in Taurus now for like a year. And I've been saying, if you've got Bitcoin, if you've got the ability to do it, Bitcoin's the way, because Uranus is online, Taurus is money, banking, but it's 7 years it's there. So it's like 7 years where we're having a big restructuring of how we value finance, because Taurus is value and money. It's how do we it's a revolution. That's really Uranus, a revolutionary transformation of Taurus things, which are food. It's what do we need to live? It's what do we need to live? But it really depends, because that could play out for me. I'm earning money online. Uranus is online. Business really could benefit from going online, basically. And I knew this was coming. So I made sure I got online a while ago and got my system slick. I didn't know how it would look. I was not that good. But then Uranus is in a square with Saturn. It's loosely starting now, but it comes exact, I think, in 2021. I don't know. Around then. It starts now. So we get a feel for the energy. And it's like already we're feeling there's this like fine line. We're seeing the cracks in the finance happening, because a square in astrology is not a harmonious angle. It's like, yeah, it's going to burst. It's like tension and dis-ease. And every time the Saturn Uranus squares, financially it goes to shit, really. I'm not a financial astrologer or mundane astrologer, because on a personal level, it could be playing out on an angle that's to do with the human body and your family. So like family tensions or old beliefs from childhood could be affecting your physical body in a way that you need to really care for it, for example. Mundane, it depends on different countries. Every country has their own astrology chart. I guess in a world level, it will be complete destabilization and restructuring of how we value money, the banking system, again, Saturn's restriction. So you've got one like corporate patriarchal restrictive energy and one that wants to transform and revolutionize. How that's going to look, I couldn't say. You might want to see what Mars.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what it was in around 1913. I'll have to do a bit of research, because that was when the Federal Reserve banking system got brought in.
Okay.
Like private central banking. And that's essentially created the debt system that we're in today, is based on what's happened about 100 and odd years ago. So it'd be interesting to see, yeah, what happened there, and if there's any alignments going on similar to what went on then.
That'd be, but if you literally like YouTube finance astrology 2020, global economy astrology 2020, there'll be some good people. I'm really bad with names, I don't remember them, but it's because I'm genuinely not that interested in it.
Yeah.
I should be,
because you said I'm not that interested in money. That's what you said about 5 minutes ago
in the finance economy. It's because I don't understand it. I think if I understood it and they taught it at school, I would have an interest in it. And at some point I'm going to have to get interested in it, because I think that's a blockage to abundance by not being interested by it. So maybe, yeah,
that's the balls we've got. You might as well make the most of it. So that's what I'll say. It's a fraud, but if it's there, you've got to use it.
Oh yeah, I'm not averse to having it.
No. You don't say no, I don't want it.
No, I definitely want it.
So what do you do now with your work, and what do you take into the world?
Generally, I work best one-to-one. I've worn a lot of different hats. I've worked with like children and all sorts of, literally I've worked at every age. But what I really do is the one-to-one coaching. I have a group coaching program as well called Modern Goddess, which is the same as my podcast. It's really about deconstructing and deconditioning. So when we're in a one-to-one context, I might use their astrology and their human design type, but I only really use that to help me coach them in a way that suits their energy type. Because different people need coaching in different ways. That's just how I see it. But yeah, mainly I work one-to-one with women, and a lot of the things I get is fertility. That's one of the main ones, trying to conceive, or generally it's disordered eating. Because those are my areas. So I bring into the world one-to-one, but honestly, I just like to inspire women to know that they don't have to feel like shit every day. And I'm passionate about helping women break free, mainly from diet culture, anything like that, you know? I guess I'm like advocating for women to be healthy at any size, but actually healthy, not just like
women be healthy at any size. I guess I'm gonna play the advocate here. Because I see a lot of that now in like magazines and stuff, and they're really fat, these people.
Yeah.
And that's just not a good look. It's not even about looking. They're not healthy people. And it just seems to have been promoted now, like when people were really thin. That was a craze at one point. And now it's like all the inclusivity movement. Everyone needs to be inclusive. So now they've put overweight people on. And it's like there's no middle ground anywhere.
It's really hard, because the one thing I want to say to that is, like, no one's body is an apology. Do you know what I mean? No one needs to apologize for how their body's showing up, because they is not acting from a place of self-love. I don't believe that self-love is doing things. Like, I believe a healthy body is not an overweight body, and I am not saying overweight by the BMI, like, because that's a load of shit. Yeah, and I'm overweight on BMI, and I wear a clothes size 8. So tell me that BMI is true. Fuck off. No, but like, that's another silly myth. You can come and fight me if you want after. I have time for that. But I don't think a healthy body necessarily would be holding an unnecessary amount of fat that would put someone into a position where you might look at them and think, oh, that's not a healthy amount of fat on someone's body. So I don't believe you can be healthy at any size, but I believe you can choose to, I believe you can choose health whatever size you are, and then your body size will reflect that. So if someone comes to me and they're quote unquote overweight based on whatever, but it's quite obvious that their body is storing loads of toxins in their fat tissue, it's quite obvious their energy isn't good, it's quite obvious they're eating loads of sugar because of maybe some chronic thought patterning that's actually not serving them, to me that's not healthy, because they're not in a place of ease. Their body's in a place of dis-ease, and if our body's in a place of dis-ease, it will look like it's not, you know, like you can see it in someone's eyes and on their skin. So I don't advocate, like, I can't say that it's healthy to eat like a crate of donuts and say that's body love, because I don't fucking agree with that. But do I judge them for it? No, because sometimes if you've been through years and years and years and years of diet culture, the pendulum swings over there. You might need to swing all the way to the other side and be like, absolutely, fuck it, I'm going to eat what the fuck I like, to realise, oh, the body knows that food's available now. It's been both ends. It trusts that there's not a famine. And now, keep putting the practices in to be aware of the body. The body's going to tell you, actually, Ethel, I don't want to eat donuts 24/7. I would really prefer salad. And you'll feel that. You might feel the need to eat spinach.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens with a lot of my clients. I actually take away all food rules. And I say to them, eat whatever the fuck you like. And they're like, but they needed to hear that. And I say, don't exercise. If you don't want to move, don't move. But it's coming from a place of the previous 4 weeks, we've been digging deep into a body awareness. We're programming loving thoughts. And I always get them to ask, what would someone who loves themselves choose? Because someone who loves themselves probably wouldn't choose a whole tray of Krispy Kreme. You know, like, they would say, you know what, you can have some sugar. It's not going to kill you. And I sometimes will force, you know, forcefully insist they try a food that they're really scared of, like a Magnum or something, and Magnum ice cream, because it's more healthy for them to eat that thing than it is to put this idea through their body that they shouldn't have that, you know? So I know I've gone around the weekend on that, but it's loaded, because even health has been given its own image, that we need to destruct the image of health, because I can tell you all the things it's not. And it's not someone heavily overweight, and it's not someone who's fucking wearing Gymshark with big booties, and you know, it very rarely is that either, you know. So I don't know, I probably pissed off a few people there, but whatever.
No, I don't think you have at all, to be fair. I think a lot of it is that we've lost touch with our inner essence, and we're looking out there for the answers to what we should be eating and shouldn't be eating. And I mean, we're fed a diet of this sugar and wheat, particularly sugar and wheat, which is the diet of the slaves. It's been pushed out into us, and you know, a lot of people still buy into all that, and I have compassion and empathy for it, because it really doesn't take long. Even if you just fasted from it for a week or 2 weeks, it does not take long for the body to start purging everything out as an organic system.
Well, wheat is, it's like wheat's defense mechanism is to step, like if it's not, because sourdough and properly fermented and processed, which takes days, by the way, you know, when you buy a sourdough ball from Lidl, trust me, it ain't proper sourdough. You can actually get it. And I don't react to that. I actually feel good from that. But my body is literally a finely tuned machine. And people are like, oh, it's part of your disorder. I'm like, no. It's like, I know that, like, when I eat bread, I literally feel shit. When I drink a drink of wine that's got sulfates in and it's not organic, I have a headache within 30 seconds. Like, it's not psychological. I'm literally asking my body, can you tell me what feels good? But like wheat and sugar, I think it's important for my context and my clients that in the context of their life, they let themselves eat those foods in abundance until they realize it feels horrible, because they get to the point where they really do. Because a lot of them have come from orthorexic, so they're like paleo, keto,
yeah,
you know, and that's not good because they're eating like five foods. So I need them to swing that way to learn that actually if they eat somewhere in the middle, it's going to be healthy. And sometimes they've actually eaten gluten and felt really good. But it's maybe not been like trashy white bread, because they've been so excited about it, they've gone and bought a really good quality bread. So,
yeah.
But I don't generally touch wheat or sugar from a place of self-love, not from a place of restriction, because I want healthy babies and healthy cells. But yeah, it's hard because it's everywhere. You try and eat out paleo in the UK, where can you go? Pret. Pret a manger. That's it.
Yeah, it's about it. Is there anything that you, before we wrap it up, anything that you want to add, or is there anything you want to promote?
I mean, if anyone's listening, they're like, I'm totally down to get my astrology read. You know, I'm your girl. It's amazing. It can be an incredible tool for self-awareness, for just looking at election astrology, choosing when you might want to launch a project. You can get astrology done for your business, you can get it done for your relationships, so we can look at synastry of a relationship. You can literally get it done if you're like feeling all kinds of lost and a bit directionless and kind of like, I'm not sure what the next step is for me, especially now people are really being confronted with that. Then astrology can answer a lot of questions and be very confirming and give you a good idea of the best way to utilize your energy in the way that tarot could. But I'm not going to predict your future, and I'm not going to tell you all fairy flowers and roses. I'll be really real with you, but give you practical tools that you can actually use. And some of it sounds really weird, but some people have a certain karma that they need to look after their mothers in a particular way, and I've literally seen their income double from literally doing their mommy karma. And I have daddy karma, so we all have karma somewhere, and when we do it, it will unlock other parts of our chart. So there are little tricks and trades. There are even places that you can move and become more successful because you move on the ley lines of where planets are. There are things that I've done, astrological magic, where people carry around, it is black magic, you have to be careful. So it's not, I don't always do it, it's an occult technique, but it works. And you can carry it around in your purse and it might make you more confident, or you might want to have more clients, more phone calls and communication, more leads. You can literally carry something around that does that, but there will always be a flip side to it too. So that astrology can do a lot of things. It is literally magic, but if you want to book a reading, then that space is open. And I would be honoured to guide anyone who feels called to astrology.
And where can they get your details?
On my website. So it's CassieAurora.com. It's very simple. CassieAurora.com. And there's loads of free blog posts on like bits of astrology on there. And there's even an astrology classroom. So if you've never done astrology, you've never looked at a chart, it actually, you can start doing it. So yeah, CassieAurora.com. Very simple. And yeah, you can go on the services and book there.
Beautiful. Well, you've absolutely blown my mind with some of that stuff, to be fair.
Have I?
Yeah, you've blown my socks off.
I'm fucking buzzing. Because Alex said to me, he was like, Al Hickman's not into astrology. This is like 2 months ago. And I was like, what? Why? I was like, he was into Paul Check, but he's not into astrology. I was like,
oh, no, I am. I've been into it for years.
I don't know why he said that. I was just like, I'm going to change his mind.
But you have anyway. Well, that was great. Thank you very much for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Right, well, I'll see you on the other side.
See you on the flip side.
Bye-bye.
Bye.